Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
North DuSable Lakeshore Drive is getting a makeover. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. For the past decade, the city and state have been working on a project called Redefine the Drive. Think task force meetings, checking in with the community, and brainstorming ideas for the future of Chicago's most iconic roadway. Now, we're getting closer to a final plan. At the end of March, we got some fresh renderings for what LSD could look like one day between Grand and Hollywood Avenues. They include more green space and sand at Oak Street Beach, revamped lakefront plazas near Chicago Avenue, and new bike and walking paths by Belmont Harbor. Tomorrow, there's a community meeting about the Lakeview section of the reimagining from Belmont to Addison. So we thought it would be a good time to get an update on the overall project and talk with a panel of transportation and planning experts and you about the future of the drive. To find out where the plans stand, we're speaking with Joe Sweeterman from DePaul University, where he runs the Chaddock Institute for Metropolitan Development, Sam Kling from the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, and Mary Sue Barrett, former head of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Sam, this survey and planning process, it's been underway for a long time, 10 years. Can you just explain what is Redefine the Drive?
Well, this is a very big project. It's been going on for nearly a decade. The idea is to reconstruct the roadway of Lakeshore Drive to allow for smoother traffic. They're going to straighten out the bend around the Oak Street curve. The original purpose of this was to improve traffic flow for cars, to also improve pedestrian traffic flows, cycling, transit flows, and just to really deal with this this roadway in disrepair.
Yeah. Joe, what do you make of the timeline on the project? It started about halfway through Mayor Emanuel's first term in office, right? And it's still going.
It is still going. And it is exciting to see these renderings come to life because we saw how the debate started 10 or so years ago. And I've been watching Chicago most of my life. And this is a different project than anything I've seen before. We've had, of course, Millennium Park, which was super exciting, and it reinvented downtown, relocated Lakeshore Drive, the museum campus. But this is of a scale that really changes our identity as a city. And I think it taps into the fact that the lakefront is gone from just a place in the summer you go to the beach to just part of everybody's life. So mm-hmm. It kind of rethinks the road with that in mind. And it's become also a mega project. So I think the city will probably need to, if they pursue it, bite pieces off at a time. But it's tremendous to see it.
Yeah, mega project is right, Mary Sue. The Metropolitan Planning Council was part of the earliest conversations about what redefining the drive could mean. So take us back, if you will. What were those early conversations like?
Well, I think there was a lot of excitement about rethinking what was possible and being inspired by international examples. Metropolitan Planning Council, which I was the president of at the time, always likes to work in coalition with other partners. So there were more than a dozen groups that came together around a framework. So putting out some guiding principles, some things that we should keep in mind, as well as some recommendations. What has happened over the more than 10 years that we've been talking about this project is we've learned a lot about public health, about recreational amenities, about how greenhouse gases get trapped along the lakefront, about providing people with more options. So I think that set of principles has served us well. But again, the pandemic, recessions, and so forth require us to kind of pivot and rethink, and that's where we find ourselves.
I'm glad you brought up the pandemic. A lot has changed in the decades since those early talks, Mary Sue, and we know now we know more about the effects of climate change. We know cars are making it worse. The pandemic changed commuting patterns. So, Sam, how different is our world today when it comes to transportation needs, desires, trends?
Well, it's a great question. And I think it's a problem with having a project timeline that's so extended, particularly when there's some world-shaking event in the middle of it. I think it remains to be seen, are we going to have the same types of commuting patterns 5 years from now that we did 5 years ago? I really don't know. I think when you look at the renderings, you know, you're presented with these beautiful images of a gleaming highway and trees everywhere and green space, particularly around Oak Street Beach. I think it's important to remember that these are renderings. They're designed to draw people in. They're designed to get people on board. You know, the green space is really great to see, but you also don't see any traffic on the road. And, you know, you see people everywhere. So fundamentally, though, I think this is, you know, the green space is great to see. But fundamentally, this is, I think, a 20th century project in many respects. And it's very focused on improving car traffic flows. There are some proposals that would allow for a bus lane, which are exciting. But, you know, this is, I think, a plan that maybe doesn't quite meet the example set by some of the best cities within the U.S. and abroad who are rethinking,
yeah,
you know, what it means to have a lakefront expressway, a lakefront freeway.
What are your thoughts, Joe?
You know, we're already looking at these renderings, studying every detail to see, does that bus lane have stations, so forth. And we don't really know yet exactly how all that would be laid out. But we have seen, and Sam, you make a really good point about how life has changed. And people think the North Lakefront is really well served by the red-purple line, but it's actually not. That can be a really long walk over to the red line. So reinventing the highway, giving it a really highly efficient transit system with bus really is a timely aspect of it. A lot of people have switched to the bus. They prefer the bus now, often get some closer to their job they need to go. So I think we're going to see a lot of discussion and probably some heated discussion about just how good that transit aspect of this plan is. So we don't just try to make a beautiful parkway along the lakefront and make it a workhorse for us.
I'm going to pivot to Mary Sue before I take some of these calls that are standing by here. Where do bikers fit into this conversation?
Yeah, let's talk about the way transportation engineers think about a massive project like this, as well as whether we're really looking at serving people as opposed to vehicles. So because this has a long tail, as we've been talking about, the idea of moving cars as fast as they always have, that's kind of the governing principle if you are a traffic engineer. If you're a resident of Chicago, you want choices. You want choices to connect to the lakefront, dedicated lanes for biking, dedicated lanes for transit. So most of the advocates, the Metropolitan Planning Council and many other organizations, I'm currently consulting to the Natural Resources Defense Council, national groups, local groups, are really soundly behind a dedicated lane for buses. So we've got four lanes. Let's recognize that as many people during some rush hours are on those buses than are in the cars,
mm-hmm.
and they deserve faster travel just as much as those in the car. So that's the kind of push for the design so we can keep in mind all of the needs of Chicagoans.
Let's jump to the phones. Carlos in Lakeview has been waiting. Hey, Carlos, welcome to Reset.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just one comment that was made earlier that the portraits show gleaming highways. And that was still correct. They're shown in a very particular way, but they're highways and cars are ugly. Has any thought been given to perhaps closing or burying parts of Lakeshore Drive, or at least on the north side? I mean, it would increase or decrease noise levels. It would create green pathways, or another option would be closing some of the roads to create a pedestrian walkway. So closing some of the lanes, maybe leaving Lakeshore Drive as two lanes each way. So thank you.
Yeah, good question there, Carlos. So you're wondering if they've considered building a pedestrian walkway and closing lanes on Lakeshore Drive or burying it. Sam, any thoughts there?
Well, I haven't heard of any serious discussions of burying Lakeshore Drive or really shutting down a lot of lanes. I did see one proposal that would remove one lane of traffic in each direction north of Irving Park, but I don't know how seriously that's being considered. But yeah, I think the caller points to a fundamental issue, which is, you know, no matter how beautiful this freeway is on our lakefront, there's still a freeway on our lakefront. You know, 8 lanes of traffic that cut off people from the city's crown jewel of public space. And you can see many other cities have had freeways along their lakefronts. A lot of them have done really ambitious things to try to either remove them or downsize them, you know, ranging from, you know, in Seoul, South Korea, there's a very famous project, the Chungge Freeway, which was, you know, carried something like 170,000 cars each day, built in the 60s, removed in the early 2000s, turned into a linear park, and now it's one of the most visited tourist sites in Seoul.
Yeah.
But there are other examples of, you know, removing the Lakeshore Drive entirely might be, you know, a pipe dream. But
yeah, I don't know about that happening here. Yeah.
You know, many cities such as San Francisco have, you know, downsized waterfront freeways, turned them into boulevards, removed lanes of traffic, those types of things.
I want to mention some of the transportation-specific proposals here in Redefine the Drive. So as a part of the study, city and state officials last year unveiled 5 redesign proposals. Keep the existing system and give buses, quote, priority junction. Maintain 4 lanes of traffic with a new 5th lane only for buses. Convert an existing lane into a bus-only lane. Make an existing lane a shared lane for buses and toll drivers. Or convert 2 of the 4 lanes for bus and tolls. Is this the right balance between cars and other forms of transit, Joe?
You know, we've seen, unfortunately, so many good projects in our city sunk by neighborhood concern about traffic. So I think probably next step is to model the system to see which can squeak the most capacity out of our system. I do think those are really exciting options that a lot of skeptics about toll pricing, but a lot of us think that may be the only way to sort of tame our appetite for endless urban driving. And having those lanes shared with high-capacity buses, you mm-hmm. know, which can handle up to 100 people, could be an option to raise some revenue, actually, to help pay for these kind of things and do it in a way that's equitable as well. You've got some room to work with here, and it's exciting how some of the options call for actually bumping out the lakefront a little bit farther so you get more public open space as well. So you have a pretty nice footprint to work with here.
Mary Sue?
There's only one segment of our economy that is increasing. It's transportation. It's emissions, and it's the transportation sector. More carbon emissions from transportation year after year. So when we think about a moment, a historic moment like this, this is a 70, 80-year-old roadway. This moment is a chance for us to rethink. It is probably too late to think about burying it, but there are other projects like the Eisenhower Redo where that discussion is underway of thinking about capping or burying portions of it. There's also cities around the globe that do occasional closing of their lakefront roadways, a ciclovia, as in Bogota and Madrid and many other places where we do that once a year. The Active Transportation Alliance does Bike the Drive. It's wonderful.
Right.
Think about the postcards and the, you know, travel magazine spreads of Chicago. They always feature this part of the city, right? It's our lakefront,
sure,
south and north, DuSable Lakeshore Drive. So what can we do to not just be, you know, kind of focused on throughput, but rather the experience of people? We actually want fewer people driving because they have great other options.
I should mention, we reached out to see if Chicago Department of Transportation Commissioner Gia Biagi could be part of the conversation, but she wasn't available. I'm going to jump back to the phones here. We got a couple people waiting. First up, Jonathan in Uptown. Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, Sasha.
Your thoughts?
Thank you. I think it's important to remember in these conversations that we talk about reimagining the drive, but what we're really talking about is reimagining a historic lakefront park, one of the most spectacular parks in the world. And as guests and callers have pointed out, a park that is really at the core of the story we tell ourselves about our city as Chicagoans. I think that it's not too late to radically shift the emphasis of this project from concentrating on how to improve or increase traffic throughput to really returning the drive to its origins as a pleasure boulevard through a park. Reducing radically the number of lanes. A bus lane is a good start. Reducing the number of traffic lanes, concentrating on capping the speed limit, adding more access points for pedestrians, and bringing in design from the perspective of the park. Mm-hmm. What kind of park do we want? And then how are people getting to the park? And then how are commuters maybe also moving through it? And I say this as a person who drives on Lakeshore Drive every day. I'm willing to drive slower. I'm willing to drive much slower
yeah.
if it means that I have this amazing resource in the city.
Very good point, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. We'll jump right to John in Edgewater. Hey, John, welcome to Reset.
Hi, thanks for taking the call, and hello to my old colleagues, Mary Sue Barrett and Joe Schwederman. It's John Holden. And I live just a few blocks from the northern terminus of Lakeshore Drive, and there were a number of charrette-like events held over the last couple of years, but we're still completely in the dark as to what this northern terminus is going to look like and where will that traffic coming off of Lakeshore Drive, which I believe is about 75 to 100,000 vehicles a day, gets channeled through Edgewater right now. The bulk of it is going on to Sheridan Road, but there were proposals to start shifting more of that to Broadway. And I'm just wondering if you folks have any idea what the current status of that whole issue is, because we in the community don't.
Thanks for your call, John.
Well, John, great comments. Good to hear from you, by the way. And it is fascinating that we have basically this urban expressway that just sort of funnels up at Hollywood into the neighborhood. And a lot of historical oddities led to this. I mean, we've done some history. Nobody expected, really, in 1950, this enormous population increase along the lake. So you drive along the Gold Coast, you can just see, and of course, Edgewater is the crown jewel of that, just the high-rise after high-rise that attest to this, reinvention of our city. And I think Lakeshore Drive, unfortunately, has become this urban mega highway machine, partly because of the population shifts to that part of town. So you're right. We can't just look at the drive itself. Yeah. It's the Sheridan Road.
Is it landmark
Road.
Protected? Lakeshore Drive?
The city has zoned the public open space, but it's certainly not protected historically.
Hmm.
But you're right, John. That traffic coming off of Lakeshore Drive into the neighborhoods is a real beast to contend with here. So I think a lot of modeling is going to be needed to make sure the plan works.
Sam, the project's expected to cost billions. An initial estimate released last year suggested $3.4 to $3.7 billion. Who's paying?
Oh, I would turn it to my colleagues who might know more about the project details.
So the DuSable Lakeshore Drive is a state roadway, but this is a joint project.
Okay.
If you ask the question, who's going to make the decision in the end about all these variables we're talking about? It looks like it will be joint, a city-state cooperative effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really up to all of us to be active through online and in person to raise the concerns like the last caller did. The funding question is well-timed because Illinois is one of those places that anticipated the federal investment that just happened in 2021, the bipartisan infrastructure law. 2 years earlier, Illinois passed its own state commitment to funding infrastructure. And so together, those resources position us better than a lot of other places to pursue this. And that it doesn't require like some of the transit discussions, the Red Line Extension South, for example. There's lots of funding uncertainty because of how transit funding flows. But with this roadway, there's more certainty because of formula funding.
We've been talking with policy expert Mary Sue Barrett, Sam Kling from the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, and Joe Schwederman from DePaul. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's hear now from one of the communities that's likely to see big changes once shovels hit the ground. Roberta Garner is a Lakeview resident who will be at one of tomorrow's community meetings about the section of the remake that's just steps from her home on Aldine Avenue. She's also a professor emerita of sociology at DePaul University and co-editor of the book Neoliberal Chicago. So, Roberta, I know you have a number of concerns about Redefine the Drive and how it could affect your community. Give us a quick overview
Very
of what's
quick,
on your mind.
Quick overview. As a sociologist, I'm particularly concerned with quality of life, with neighborhood vitality, and I'm very concerned that plans that focus on moving traffic faster, as Mary Sue was saying, often interfere with that quality of life in the neighborhoods. They interfere with, can interfere with access to the lakefront. What's important here, I think, is the lakefront and not the traffic along the lakefront. And as someone else mentioned, there are a number of cities in which development of roads along the along a waterfront have been extremely harmful and have had to be undone 40, 50 years later. So yeah. I'm concerned about those issues. I'm also concerned about what Sasha earlier called checking in with the community and brainstorming with the community, because as far as I could see, there's been very, very little of it.
Interesting.
In the Aldine, Belmont to Addison area.
Well, I know that you've been to some community meetings in the past, similar mm-hmm. to the one that you're going to attend tomorrow at Temple Shalom in Lakeview.
Yes.
What was your experience like with those meetings?
Well, the meetings are very top-down. Here's the plan. Here are the visualizations. Here are the stats. And by the way, I teach stats, and I have great concerns about some of the stats that Redefine is presenting to the community, the projections to 2050 and some of the accident statistics and some other stuff. And I don't have time to go into that, but I think all of my listeners should be thinking about what stats are being presented here and are they really valid. But in any case, I think that some people writing about these highways in urban areas have talked about more listening to the community, engaging the community, having focus groups with the community, discussing community-specific needs and goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen very much of that happening. There's a lot of maps, statistics, here's the video, here's a visualization, here's a new version of the visualization. Not seeking input from the community.
So what's the main point tomorrow that you want to get across?
The main point tomorrow is let's slow down a little bit, especially on the Belmont Irving Park segment. I don't want to say too much about the Oak Street segment because there I can see more value perhaps to the community, and I feel I can't speak for the community. But in the segment that's been defined as diversity to Irving Park or Belmont to Irving Park,
yeah.
There's been very little conversation with the community. And I'm very concerned about that. And I say, let's slow that segment down and let's talk a little bit about keeping access points. Let's talk a little bit about keeping the original design, because the original design is brilliant. And so before we change which street leads into a ramp or which off-ramp or which street is the recipient of an on-ramp, mm-hmm. of an off-ramp or an on-ramp, let's talk a little bit about the original design and why it was designed this way and what it means for people's access to the park,
yeah.
to bike lanes, to walking trails, to trees, which seem to be planned to be cut down,
yeah.
and a number of other quality of life concerns and community participation concerns.
Let's hear from a couple of callers who have been standing by, Roberta. First, we'll check in with Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to Reset.
Hi. I just exited the Kennedy because I chose not to choose Lakeshore Drive because of the road surface. It's awful. You know, I worry for the suspension of my car.
Yeah, it is
pretty
bad.
Yes.
But yeah. I'm a motorist and a biker, and I'm wondering what the plan is. I mean, if they would add a lane for bikes, because I don't think it's necessary. You've got a lakefront lane that goes all the way from the top of Lakeshore Drive continuously down to the, mm-hmm. the south side. And, you know, population of Chicago has been decreasing, and yet the traffic gets worse. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think the last thing, you know, the cars need is to get squeezed by a bike lane that's really, considering there's already a path, is not necessary. And I should add, I spend a lot of time up in Milwaukee. I have some business interests mm-hmm. up there. And their lakefront is beautiful. They didn't overdevelop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Chicago feels vastly overdeveloped compared to Milwaukee. It's much more pleasing to the eye up there.
Thanks for sharing mm-hmm. that, Stephen.
Thanks.
Appreciate your call. Drive safe. All right, let me jump to Clark, who's been waiting. Clark's in Hyde Park. Hey, Clark. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I would really like to rethink the needs of the Lakeshore Drive. And as a biker, I have electric vehicles zooming by me, which is unsafe. Mm. But if you put those vehicles on the main road, they're going to get crushed and zoomed around by big cars. What I think we need to do is think and support smaller single-person electric commuter vehicles that are quiet. And it's a supply and demand problem. If we make it easy for those vehicles to be used, there'll be more of them. And they can go in neighborhoods a lot easier. They're safer. And we can slow things down and make things quiet and make things more environmentally happy. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for calling, Clark.
I'd like to also bring up the question of how long this project is going to take.
The timeline,
The timeline has not
been
discussed at all. And I want to speaking for some elderly people along the drive, people are saying, am I going to be closed out of the park for possibly the rest of my life? And that's kind of a brutal way to put it. But I think that is an issue. And there's going to be heavy equipment. There are going to be closures of some of the park access points. Mm. And so these are really immediate questions to people. And it's one thing to put out the blueprints, but it's another thing to, again, to see what this means for people's everyday life. Am I going to be able to walk on the lakefront as I can now, or to bike along the lakefront?
Earlier in the show, one of our guests was talking about one of the most cutting-edge approaches to transportation globally. That was highway removal. Mm. Right? You talked about what was going on in Seoul.
Mm, yes.
Any thoughts on that? I mean, as we made clear, it might not happen here. It probably won't happen here in Chicago. But what if DuSable Lakeshore Drive just disappeared?
Well, that touches on another issue, and that's equity. And I want to say a few words about that and almost be an advocate for cars. I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth here. But I think we have to understand that this talk about bikers only walking to work, all of these little bit and closing drives is not realistic in Chicago. Chicago is a very car-dependent city. If you're elderly, if you're disabled, if you're a family with little kids who have to get kids to school and to daycare, if you work two jobs, if you work late hours, all of those characteristics mean that you probably have to use your car and that it's a kind of privilege to walk. I walk to work, but I understand that that's a privilege. And so I think we have to be a little bit sensitive to that, and we can't just tear out lanes or tear out whole roadways. And that's actually why I'm a little bit conservative on this whole question. I think we have to be careful not to destroy what we have unless what we put in its place is equitable, is more equitable.
Strikes the right balance, right?
Exactly.
You got to support transit and cars as well.
Yes.
All right. We'll leave it there. There's a caller I can't get to, Tracy in South Loop. I'm so sorry. I don't have enough time. But I know that you have a very interesting comment. Tracy says to our producers, I think everyone's forgetting about rail, light rail specifically.
Mm, yes.
You could take out a couple lanes from LSD and maybe put in a couple of tracks.
Yes.
No time to really explore that, but it's an interesting suggestion. We've been talking with Lakeview resident Roberta Garner. There are two community meetings tomorrow about the Lakeview section of Redefine the Drive. They'll be at Temple Shalom at 3480 North DuSable Lakeshore Drive at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Thank you so much.
I just want to say one more thing. I'm just stunned by how few people in Lakeview actually know that Redefine the Drive is going on.
You got to tell them. They need you. This episode of Reset was produced by Dan Tucker, who also edited the episode along with Andrew Merriweather. If you're not subscribed to the Reset podcast, you're missing out. We have all the essential news you need to know, along with fascinating interviews and stories about arts and culture from across the globe. So hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, that's all for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.